Welcome to the Every Nation Hong Kong podcast. Every Nation is a church that exists to honor God and make disciples. We pray that this message blesses you. Now, here's your message.
Hi. Now let me introduce you another legendary missionary in the Every Nation world, Pastor Larry Matsuwaki. It's actually, he doesn't look it, he's a Hawaii boy. Okay? Pastor Larry was a surfer dude, kind of grew up in Hawaii. So that was his wife laughing, kind of surfing the waves, you know. What do you call that? I'm not a surfer. The giant waves, doing all those giant waves moves. But met this girl in college in Hawaii. Fell in love with Elaine, so moved to the ends of the earth in Singapore and really planted a strong Every Nation church in Singapore that's really also touching all the planted church in Turkey. Also Nepal, helped in Nepal, just all Perth in Australia, all over the nations. But God has raised Pastor Larry to be a prophet in our movement. And so he's turned that church over and really now moving around this region, just bringing the word of God to the churches, pastors, and leaders. So would you just join me in welcoming Pastor Larry Matsuwaki.
Wow. All right. I'm just going to share a little bit. I was asked just to give an intro to your main message and talk about the parable of the sower. And, you know, I like this parable because we're talking about the heart. And when I was thinking about the parable of the sower, you know, I thought of, you know, my family. And one significant moment that happened for us as a family is last year my oldest son got married. And that's a picture here of their wedding. And it's a mixture of laughter and tears, because when we first started the ceremony, I couldn't stop crying. And I just couldn't even get the words out. I couldn't even say, we're gathered here today. I couldn't, because I was just crying and crying, because I was having memories of all the things that we've been through with my son. And I was just thanking God for bringing him to that point, you know, and it was kind of like a graduation ceremony for us as parents. Releasing him. Yes. Okay, we did it. Okay. But I was just thinking about the parable of the sower, how even as parents, we just sow and sow and sow and pray for our children. And we just thank God that what God does with our children. I just want to talk about the four different soils here. And in Luke, actually, the parable of the sower is, you could find it in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. And since we have a few doctors here, that's why we're looking at Dr. Luke's version, okay, of what it says. And the basic summary of it, it says, a sower went to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the path, some fell on the rock, some fell on the thorns, and some fell on the good soil. So we're going to look at that, the four soils, and I just wanted to share that with just some quick testimonies. And the first one is the hard heart, you know, and in Luke 8:12, it says, the ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And I was thinking about the path, and I was thinking about how paths are formed. It's formed when people walk on it a lot, right? And it's thinking about how we form habits. We just are trained that way all our life. And so sometimes our hearts get very hard because of our traditions and our habits of life. And sometimes when we minister to people, their hearts are like that, just because of the way they live in their life. I wanted to share a testimony about this, because one of the most hardest-hearted people that I know growing up was my uncle, okay? And this is him, okay? And for years, we would pray for my uncle. And every time you mentioned Jesus to my uncle, he would curse and swear. He was so hard. Don't talk to me about Jesus, and get out of my house. I mean, he would get angry and upset. And I thought, God, if you can save my uncle, that would be a miracle. Well, my auntie prayed 20 years, and she endured this kind of verbal abuse for 20 years. Come on. And she held on to this verse, actually, that one day her husband will be saved. And it says in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4, 1 and 4, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Come on, wives. Okay. But let your adoring be in the hidden person of the heart. And, you know, I would watch my auntie go through this, and I would always ask my auntie, I said, Auntie, how can you endure this verbal abuse? And she said, God gave me a word that one day your uncle's going to be saved. Come on. And you know what happened? We began to just pray and pray and pray, and one day my uncle goes into an Amway meeting, and someone in the Amway meeting shares his testimony. And my uncle turns to the friend that he was with, and he knew he was a Christian. He turns to him and he says, can you lead me in a prayer to receive Jesus? And my friend says, what do you mean? He says, I'm just ready. And I was like, what in the world? 20 years of prayer, he one day receives the Lord. And the amazing thing is now they're going around in Hawaii ministering to couples. Couples that seem impossible to change, impossible to reach, they're saying if God can reach us, he can reach anybody. Come on. That's a hardened heart. The next one is the wounded heart in Luke verse 13. And the ones on the rock and are those when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe in a while and time of testing, they fall away. How many of you know people that maybe they've received Christ, but when they hit that time of testing, they fell away? Testing of sickness, testing of financial difficulty. So many people we minister to, they're like that. They get so upset. Well, you know, if God will allow this to happen to me, then I don't want to serve him anymore. Oh, what happened to our thing? Okay. Okay, but anyway, so we all have these stones in our lives, you know, these difficulties, these rocks that are hard to overcome. And so we never know. Some people are wounded in that way. In 2009, this family came to us, and they were actually on the verge of almost ending their marriage. He's an American, she's a Japanese, and during that time, we ministered to the couple, and the son got diagnosed with leukemia. I mean, it was like one blow after another blow. It was like one hardship trial. It was like very terrible for them in this situation. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And the amazing thing about their son, even though he was going through all those chemo treatments, he had such joy on his face. He would always say, I know Jesus is going to heal me. Don't worry, Mom and Dad. I know Jesus is going to. I mean, he had so much joy. It's amazing. In 2013, he was diagnosed. This is a picture of 2013, okay? He was diagnosed cancer-free. Come on. And this is a picture of him. Last year, the whole family came back to visit us in Singapore because they moved back to the U.S. And they visit. Now he's 15, 16 years old, and he's healthy. Man, he's playing American football, baseball, and he's a top celloist, you know, in the orchestra. So God's doing amazing things, and the Lord restored the whole family, and God's blessing them. And so I really like this scripture. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. We don't know why we have to go through trials, but God uses the trials to grow our faith. The main thing is keep a cheerful heart. Come on. A cheerful heart does good like a medicine. Okay. The next one is a distracted heart. And this one is by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, their fruit does not mature. You know, it's kind of like this. All these weeds get, all these distractions all around us try to pull us down and pull us away. And these are some things that you have to be careful of, even here in Macau. In Singapore, it's materialism, I believe, in Macau. It could be the same thing. All these, in Hong Kong, you know, it's all these materialistic things that are trying to pull at you. Some of you, it's relationships trying to pull you away. How many of you, okay, don't raise your hands, but how many of you know friends that have been pulled away because of relationships? Oh, some of you are here today. You're contemplating. Okay, be careful. All right. This is we all know the story of David. And I just wanted to put this in because he was called a man after God's own heart. If this slide can go ahead. But yeah, in scripture it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And so here's a man that was known after God's own heart, but yet he was distracted by Beersheba and he fell. And if a man after God's own heart can fall, we have to be careful that we don't be the same. And so it's a wake-up call for all of us. We need to guard our heart. We need to be careful that we don't get distracted by so many things. I believe that if we are faithful, if we love God with all our heart, the only way that really the enemy can really get us is by distracting us, getting us too busy on too many things. There are too many even leaders today that are burning themselves out because they get distracted. That's something we have to be careful of in busy cities. Okay, the last one is an open good heart in verse 15. But the seed is in the good earth. This is a Message version. These are the good hearts who sees the word and hold on to no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. And I want to encourage all of us. How many of you want a good heart? Come on. Then you got to stick with it. And keep holding on and keep believing, even though through the trials things are not turning out or you're not seeing the answers to prayer. Keep on believing, okay, and guard your heart because Scripture says guard your heart, okay. This is a picture I wanted to share because we've been praying in Singapore for this guy here. And we've been praying because he was from another religion, and he was very hard, and it seemed impossible. We've been praying for years. Last year, I went to our church in Bangkok, and the daughter had gotten saved a couple years ago, and she was praying for the dad. And she says, hey, why don't you come to church? Because a pastor from Singapore is going to speak. So he's a Singaporean. He came to church that day. We preached to him. He came down to the front, received Jesus in his heart, and then I said, who are you anyway? We found out that he's the guy we've been praying for in Singapore for years. Come on. And it seemed impossible, but how many of us know? God can move, Lord, in any impossible situation. So I'm sharing all this to encourage all of us, okay, that we need to guard our heart. And we're all in different situations. If you can just move that slide for me. Okay. Yeah. So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out from it. So the whole message of this is that we don't know the conditions of everybody's heart, but God does. And I was talking to this large pastor of this large church in America. And he was from this mainland denomination, you know, and maybe they were just struggling in the giftings and all of this. And he said, Larry, he says, I'm thinking about stopping praying for people. And I said, why would you do that? And he says, because I only see 50% of results. And I said, where in Scripture does it say the results are up to us? I said, it doesn't. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus is the healer. The results are up to him. And in the right time, he will heal them. I said, don't you dare stop praying for people. And I want to encourage us because we never know the condition of someone's heart. They could be a hard heart, a wounded heart, a distracted heart, or open heart. The main thing is that we love God with all our heart. Come on. And if we love God with all our heart and we're just faithful and obedient to walk in what he tells us to do, in the right time, God will use that seed that we planted and they'll be fruitful. Come on. I wanted to pray for us. Lord God, I just thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, if any of us are discouraged here today, Lord God, because we're reaching out and we're praying for our loved ones and friends and we don't see the results, Lord God, let us not, Lord God, grow weary in doing good because in due time we're going to reap a harvest. I thank you, Lord God, that you would just heal our hearts, Lord God, of any hurts, wounds, and rejections. And Lord God, we know in the right time, Lord God, that our loved ones and friends and family will come to know you. So Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, you're healing hearts today, and you're going to use us, God, to reach every single person in every different area of their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Larry, for a really encouraging word. I'm sure we can take that home and really get to digest it and apply that into our lives, right? Church, we have one more speaker for this morning. I would like to introduce, he doesn't need much introduction in a way because he was here for our 10th anniversary. He was here in many of the milestones in our church in Every Nation Hong Kong. But in fact, before I introduce Pastor Scott, I'd like to also say a word to Pastor Scott's pastor, Uncle, the real Uncle Sam. So I want to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? I'm going to cut into Pastor Scott's time, but there was once a young man about 27 years old. That was me. And I was tasked by my pastor at that time to take a pastor to another city in Japan. And I was told, oh, just take, you know, Pastor Sam and Nancy and Auntie Millie across and just take care of them. And then lo and behold, after that night when I took them to Shimada in Japan, the next day they talked to my pastor at that time and said, this young guy, I was young once, and said, this young man has to go to be trained in Manila. And so my pastor said, do you want to go? And I said, sure. So ever since then, back in 2004, I thank Pastor Sam, Uncle Sam, for really, of course, God changed my life, but through Uncle Sam and Auntie Nancy, I still remember the moment. I'll never forget that. Thank you for being God's instrument, not just in my life, but I think, you know, in many people's lives. So I want to honor, let's give a round of applause to Uncle Sam and Auntie Nancy as well. So they're officially my spiritual great-granddad and grandma. So now I want to introduce to you my spiritual granddad. Oh, sorry, you are granddad anyways now. But really, I am, as you know, I'm always honored when Pastor Scott and Naomi-san, and now Irene, their daughter, are here. For me, they are really my someone that I look up to a lot. As a missionary to Japan for more than 30 years, I would say. More than 30 years. Someone who really loved the nation that God has called them to. Call especially Pastor Scott to go to, and I'm really grateful for their lives, for the impact upon my life, you know. And many of my major decisions, I go to them and ask them for their prayers, for their advice, and I'm really always just so faithful that they always reply to me, always pray for us, and so for me, I want to say thank you for Pastor Scott, thank you for Naomi-san, for really standing there with us all these years that we've been in Hong Kong and even when we were in Japan. So anyways, without further ado, let's welcome Pastor Scott.
Amen. You guys are tough. Why don't you stand up a moment? I'm doing a very pastoral thing. I know you can only hear with your ears as long as your rear can take it, so... Look at your neighbor and say, good morning. Okay, you may be seated. You know, I know your church is doing very good. Of course, your room is full. I'm very happy. But when I come and I look at Pastor Sam and he looks good. But when I look at Esther and I see the joy in her face, I can see that, Sam, you're doing a good job. Okay? That's all that matters. So there's the barometers right here and right there. Okay. So I'm very thankful for our team here, and you guys have been such faithful members all these years, and I love looking out at the diversity of people here in this very international place, and I'm so excited to see more and more Hong Kong people, local Chinese folks, and so ni hao ma, and I'll use my one word, momentai, it's going to be okay, all right. And I'm very happy, my wife here, Naomi, and my daughter, Irene, can you stand? She hates me to do this, but Larry said it already. Irene's been in our church there in Singapore for the last 6 or 7 years, and so we have a little bit of a family reunion going on, so it's great that we could meet here in Hong Kong. I thank you, Larry, for that word. I know all over Hong Kong, you're reading through these same verses in the book of Luke, and I'm glad that Pastor Larry was able to go through these four kinds of soil, and I encourage you, go back and read those verses. That parable is so important that it comes up in three of the Gospels, and it's the parable that Jesus, more than any other parable, he explains it. And so I think for us as believers to really catch that, really grasp it, and it's good. And I liked how Larry brought it out, especially as we're dealing with people. And so I want to, we planned to do this together, and that he would do that aspect. And I'm going to take the next aspect is more, well, what about my heart? Okay, because as much as we're talking about these different hearts of people that we're trying to reach, the other aspect of this parable is, what about my heart? So before we get into that, you know, I'm, you know, Sam says I'm his spiritual grandfather. Gosh, I'm not that. Okay. Well, because of Dennis and me, okay. But actually, Pastor Sam, who's here, baptized me when I was 19 years old. So we've been together a long time, okay? And he performed my marriage, and then he performed my children's marriage. So, I just wanted to put that, because that's what family is. We go together for a long time, all right? And but anyway, as an older man, and if you're not familiar with, most of Asia is growing and growing and growing. As we get older in our Japanese society, Japanese society is a very aging society. Our population growth is going down. And so, you know, people are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, and it's a big part. And so the television shows are all about health, because it's all about aging society. And of course, I'm right in the demographic. And so my wife and I are always watching, because we're concerned about not just living old, but living old and being healthy. And I wanted to share with you about something about your inner man. But before we get into the inner man, I want you to understand something about your colon. Your colon. How many of you have been thinking about your colon today? Okay, it's not something you think about very often. But in Japanese, we have a word which we call daicho kankyo, which means the environment of my colon. And I know I'm connecting with you here. You're excited. But your colon is very important. Okay? And you know, as you keep your colon healthy, the rest of your body is healthy. Right? Your skin is healthy, your fingernails are healthy, your temperament is healthy, and those here in any medical firm understanding will understand that your colon, as long as it's keeping the process moving along, you know, that you're a healthy person. And it affects, of course, your heart's important, your liver's important, your pancreas is important. All of them are important. And you can feel things in your heart. And you can basically feel ailments in most of the parts of your body. But you really never feel anything in your colon like a cancer until it's way too late. And so therefore, you know, one of the keys to long life, healthy life, is to develop the environment of your colon so that you can be healthy for a long time. And so we, you know, you think about it, right? What you eat. You take probiotics. You take different things to develop a flora inside your colon to get the bacteria that's right in there. And I know I'm going too much detail on this. But what comes in, we monitor. And what goes out, we monitor. Because that really tells if my inner me is really healthy or not. And as you get older, you really say, I have to make an endeavor. I have to work at this because it's an important thing. Say amen. This isn't it. Now, aren't you glad you came to church today? And we're going to have more salad for dinner and more vegetables and eat Japanese natto, and it's very good for you. But I think you're going to catch where I'm going here. Because just as much as this is important, and just as much as this is neglected, so is our inner man and our real heart. And so I want to bring this whole thing that we've been talking about today, from all the way to the nations that we are touching, to all the way the individuals that we're trying to change their heart, back to you and to me. That we leave today with an understanding of how is my inner man. And this is how it ends. It says, as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast, and say this with me, in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. Honest and good heart. And that's what I want to close up today with. How is our heart? Is it honest? And is it good? And how is your inner man? Okay? And this is the Apostle Paul is encouraging us, and we won't read it all. Let's just start in verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might, what's this say? Through his spirit in the inner man. So put the next verse up, because this is the verses I want you to take home. That good and honest heart and strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. How is your inner man? This is you, okay? Your outside, your facade, you know, that really doesn't matter. What matters is, how is your good and honest heart? How is your inner man? Are you purposely building up the inner man? See, catch this. As a young believer, I caught this and it has helped me, and I need to remember and I need to go back and develop it all the time. But, you know, we are always taught we have a body, right? This outside body. We have our soul or our mind and our emotions and our intellect and things that we're always developing. But the real me and the real you is what is in the depth of us, which is our spirit, our inner man. And everything in the Christian life, listen carefully, goes from the inside out. Okay? It's not the outside in. I mean, there is the input and all that. But as this part is strong, the rest of your life will eventually get better. That's in the Christian world, we use the term sanctification. And sanctification is inside of you is a big circle. And in that circle, there's circles and there's X's, okay? And the circles are your good points and the X's are your bad points. And our fallen nature, our broken self, our messed up lives, things that have been passed on to us and things that we've done ourselves, all of us have them in our lives. And the instant Jesus comes into our lives, they just don't disappear. I mean, they're still in there. But when the inner man is focusing on Christ and the inner man is growing and it's the good and the honest heart and we look at ourselves real, then those X's start to become circles. And life, you know, Pastor Sam and Nancy will be the first ones to tell you, and maybe I'm one of the second oldest here, I don't know, but from the oldest coming down, we can say this, it doesn't matter how old you get, God still keeps changing us. So look at your neighbor and say, change! Change is good. Because when you go to heaven, you're still going to be changed. So let's do it now. Amen. So my point to us today, brothers and sisters, is let's go into our inner man and let's really, really see it grow. Just very quickly, some practical things. Okay, let's be consistent. Okay? Consistently, you know, Jesus said in the parable about the guy who's always looking for the speck in his neighbor's eye, right? What does Jesus say? Do you remember what he said? He said, first fix your own self. Fix, I had the picture of that plank in your own eye. And so what I'm saying to you as more growing and mature believers, it's not your pastor's job, it's not your husband or wife's job, it's your job to fix yourself. Okay, and we fix ourselves, of course, by just coming to Christ, admitting what our problem is, and say, God, I need your help. I cannot fix it on my own. Christ Jesus, come in. This area of irritability, come on, let's be honest. Where is your weak parts in your heart? Impatience, maybe some lustful thoughts or bad habits or anger issues. Or just worry about finance, worry about the future, whatever. You know, all of our hearts, all of us have different things. The key is this, and just kind of go way to the end, I think, and we'll just finish, is there's three things that I want you to catch from this, okay? I think it's the last slide. Monitor your heart, okay? And this is what I want to do. I monitor my colon. Don't ask your neighbor if they do, because monitoring the colon is basically before you flush, you look, right? And I mean, that kind of tells you the health of your situation, okay? And I'm offending some of you, but most of you, I know you like that kind of humor. Okay. We need to ruthlessly, honestly, be honest about our own hearts. And as Christians, we have, more than other people, we have a great temptation to become super performance oriented, to look like a Christian, to act like a Christian, and to put on the facade like we were talking yesterday. But what we're talking about here is go back to the very, very foundation. Say, the outside doesn't matter. I'm going to monitor my heart. Am I irritable? Do I speak sarcastically all the time? Do I just worry about money? Do I argue with my spouse? Am I mean to my children? Am I uncaring about poor people and other people's problems? And then, number one, let's just be honest about it and say, I have a problem here. Let's say that. It's just good to say it. I have a problem. Number one. Hi. I have a problem. Now, a lot of us Christians, we say, yeah, I have a problem. But you got to do something about it. Right? You know, I don't know how you say repent in Chinese. But in Japanese, we use the word kui aratame. And kui means to feel bad about it. And, of course, that's where we're supposed to start. I feel bad that I'm so irritable. I feel bad that I'm not kind. I feel bad. That was never the impression, God's plan to just make you feel bad. We have to do the second word, which is aratameru, which means to. So change. Turn away. I mean, this is basic life, right? Turn away from your own stupid path and turn to Christ Jesus and the power of the cross that can do anything. It can teach you English. Amen. And it can, but even more than teaching you English, it can take all that X's in your heart and start to make them into circles and make you a fulfilled, a fruitful, and a happy person. So look at your heart. Be quick to respond, okay? Be quick to respond. And then the last thing is this, keep walking in it every day. Be consistent, be consistent, be consistent. And so I think the Lord has given us a good buffet this morning. He's given us faith-building vision. He's given us, Larry just took us through the scripture of how we can help people with different kinds of hearts and challenged us to be more ministry-oriented. But now, let's not just become performance. God, look at my inner man. What is the real me doing? And let's respond to that today, okay? All right. Maybe we can have our worship team come up. And why don't we all stand? And just ask the Lord, God, we were singing, take my heart, Lord, it is yours, right? It is yours. He sees it. He knows it. And basically, if you're honest, you see it. You know it. You know the real you, right? And here's my dream for you. I want the real you and the outside you to be the same guy. Then your life is fulfilled. You don't have to become a performer. You don't have to act. You're kind because you're kind. You don't have to try to be honest. You're just honest. You don't have to work at being a Christian. You're just a Christian. It's like Larry's testimony of his auntie. She just lived in front of she showed the good heart. That was the word there, right, Larry? She just showed her good heart. That's your greatest witness right there. And then when you open your mouth after the good heart, you can change people. What a great potential here, man. What a great bunch of people. The fact that you come to church on Sunday morning shows my heart wants to do the right thing. And I pray that tomorrow morning is to be okay, but maybe Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, you can get up and say the same thing. And when you do it every day, and keep that heart monitored, then you're going to have some success. Put your hand on your heart. Let's just be quiet for a few moments. Lord, we want to build up our inner man in the Holy Spirit right now. Not just a hype of a music or a hype of hearing all these testimonies. But we ask that your Holy Spirit come into my deepest, deepest, deepest me right now. Because it all comes back to this, Lord. It is your heart. I gave it to you. And I give it again. And only you can change it. And I see my failures. And I turn again to you today. Make my heart good. Make my heart honest. Make me to be a kind person. Make me to just be a naturally generous, big-hearted, big-thinking, magnanimous person. Take my heart, Lord, right now. And Father, for those who are here still wondering and thinking and contemplating Christ, Jesus, you're showing them right now that you are so real, that their life is not just being called to a religion, but you're calling them to know you and to walk in true fulfillment and comfort and peace and to have a fruitful life. Come, O Holy Spirit. Come, Spirit of God. Fill us this morning. Fill our inner man. Change us from the inside out. And Lord, Monday morning all the way until next Sunday morning, let us wake up every morning and say the same prayer. Take my life, Lord. Take my heart, Lord. It is yours. And when I fail, let me see it quickly. Let me respond quickly. And let me just do the right thing. Now I thank you for these people and this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Or find us